Welcome to the Catch Up Podcast in the last week before Easter. A short week this week, so only a couple more opportunities, Lou, to win $500 with our free money minute. And it got oh so close today. Paul from Albury with a 9 out of 10.
With a 9 and a sad 9 at that.
Yeah, 10 questions, 60 seconds. It was gettable today. And he got through them all, except he passed on one, which was probably one of the simplest questions.
Yeah. But simple if you know the answer, though.
Look, it's simple, Lou. What?
I thought so, but let's not cast aspersion on Paul.
Oh, Paul did. Paul got a 9. I mean, that's better than most people. That's terrific. But I don't think Paul will be very happy that he got what car company makes the 911 wrong.
I think you're right.
Porsche.
Yeah.
Classic.
The old Porsche 911.
Yeah, yeah. But it does show, though, that pressure can do anything. I mean, it's easy in hindsight. You look back at questions and you just go, oh, people should have got all of them right on that one. But then you're like, but when the 60-second countdown starts.
That's true. And especially he did waste a few seconds at the beginning trying to get the first answer right, which he got correct.
I don't think we really should do an on-air thing. Actually, we should do it in our podcast intro rather than waste time. I should do a 60-second one with you and see what, and you should do it with me and we'll see how we handle the pressure.
Okay, we could do that.
Because I'm judgmental of people when they stuff it up. I'm like, geez, what? You know, in my head, I don't say it on it, but in my head, I'm like, ugh, I got it wrong. But I'm just wondering how appalling I'd be if the pressure was actually on.
I'd like to think fairly appalling.
Handle pressure like that well.
No, but your general knowledge is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, but not necessarily under pressure. How about yourself? You'd be confident that you'd nail it. I know you would.
I'd have a red hot go. Oh, yeah, I'd be so confident.
Right,
you know how confident I am.
I'm going to do
and
it tomorrow.
How competitive. I'm so competitive about it.
Listen out to our podcast intro tomorrow because I'll be playing it with Lou. My 10 questions.
Who's
for
are
you.
Your 10 questions
I'll
make for me?
I'll write up the 10 questions. We'll get this. We'll do the right intro, everything, and then bang, you've got to see how well you go.
Yeah. Can you make one of them the capital of Bulgaria?
That'll be Sofia. There'll be no Bulgarian questions or cat questions.
What? I didn't have any cat questions today.
I know, but I'm saying it's not going to help you. I'm not going to help you in that way by giving you cat
questions. Oh, well, I'll give you no car or sport questions. How's that?
There'll be no questions about...
There'll be no questions.
...breeds of cow. All right. Anyway, we've got heaps on the show today, so let's jump into it. And I thought just the other day that we were due a lockdown and then bang, here it is, perfectly timed before Easter. I couldn't have said it better myself. Brisbane started its 3-day lockdown yesterday with all the ensuing border issues that go along with it, of course. Let's find out how it's going. A good mate of the show, Liam Renton, joins us live from lockdown in Brisbane. Morning, mate.
Morning, guys. Matt, did Lou tell you about our boozy dinner we had last month? I'll fill you in if you want me to, but she ordered the strawberry fairy floss cocktail. That's all I'm going to say.
It's true.
Okay. Oh, when you were stuck up in Brisbane.
When I was stuck in Brisbane and I was locked down.
Yeah, because of a lockdown here in Melbourne, of course.
Yeah.
All that chaos ensued from that. So how are you feeling now? Entering day 2, I guess. It started at 5 p.m. yesterday, didn't it?
What happens is it's just really unexpected and you're unprepared. So, for example, my daughter went on school camp yesterday and she left at 8 a.m. in the morning and she was back at school by 9 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, no.
And, of course, some of the parents had already taken off. I know one parent was down the Gold Coast and took off and said, I'm out for 3 days and had to come back and pick up the kids. But my daughter decided to stay at school because they put on pizza and videos for the kids all day, which, it's heaven on a stick. They love it. So the panic buying set in yesterday. I don't know why we do it. I still have 5 kilos of rice from the last time we locked down.
Oh, you're and set. Risotto all around.
I still have 50 toilet paper rolls from the first lockdown last year.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
It really is all gone. I saw a picture of, I've got a lot of friends. I went to uni in Brisbane. I've got a lot of friends up there and they put pictures up on my Facebook
empty
feed.
Empty shelves.
People really are still buying toilet paper in
for
a frenzy.
3 days. Like, are people predicting that they're going to have gastro over the lockdown period? Because honestly, how much toilet paper do you need for 3 days?
The panic buy mentality is crazy. I don't understand it, considering we've all got stuff in our cupboard. And, if you go through your cupboards, you'll find food for days. If you need it, or we have to cook, that's the problem. What am I going to do with all this food in the cupboard? The problem is that it's put all our Easter plans on hold.
I know, which is awful.
And what's even sadder, Matt, is that I was going to catch up with Lou on the weekend. I was coming to Albury on the weekend to say hi to you guys.
Really?
And so we were driving down on Good Friday. That's up in the air. We still may come down, but it's up in
the air.
Don't
risk it.
At the moment.
You can't risk travelling interstate.
And that's the problem. You might get stuck if you do travel interstate. And who knows which traffic light Daniel Andrews will be putting up for Queensland now, because I have a feeling that you guys will be some kind of red, orange colour. So it might be even harder for you to move around. Who knows? But
well, I tell you, I was staying right down near the down the commercial club. There's a nice little Airbnb we were staying at, and they've still got my $1,000 deposit. So I wouldn't mind that back, guys, if plans do change over the next couple of days, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That one's got us a bit worried. But look, first world problems. We're going into Easter. The kids are staying home for the next 3 days. That's not a major problem. Not many of us are at work. It's essential travel only. But you'd be surprised how many cars are on the road when it's essential travel. And here's the fun fact. People seem to have more accidents in lockdown than when there's no lockdown. People travel faster on the roads. You know, they're a little bit more reckless and carefree.
Well, they're trying to stay ahead of the COVID. What do you expect?
Yeah, absolutely. I've already seen 3 accidents this morning around town, which is unheard of. That's what happens. Lockdown's crazy.
And finally, we've just about run out of time, but our thoughts go to all of the tourism operators in Queensland, because not only were you smashed last time by Palaszczuk closing the border at will, but also now. I mean, this is the worst timing with Easter.
Well, listen, fingers crossed. I mean, the hope is that they'll have Easter. For 3 days now, we're back on over the 4 days. You never know.
Okay.
They could have planned for a very long Easter, you know, an extra couple of days. So nothing, no plans are set in stone yet. But we're fingers crossed, but it doesn't look good, does it? It doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't. Look, enjoy all of the rice and toilet paper that you can handle. And hopefully the 3 days will go really quickly for everyone. Thanks for chatting with us.
I'll be drowning my sorrows in a strawberry fairy floss cocktail a la Louisa style.
Lovely. Very nice. Thanks. Have two for me.
Love you, Lou. you too, Matt.
See you, mate. It's Lou and Matt. That's Liam live from lockdown in Brisbane. It's Lou and Matt's Triple. And we always like to tackle the big issues. We're not afraid to tackle the ones that other people don't approach. And let's get stuck in, Lou, with this.
And Matt's big issue.
Yeah. All right, this
you know
is
it's going to be huge. Big when you hear that.
Oh, my God.
Big.
So we were having a chat with our boss the other day, and he goes, I had a practice bunny the other day. And I said, well, what the...
What?
Don't you remember, Lou?
We're like, what's a practice bunny?
Practice bunny. And he said, you've got to have a bunny before Easter Sunday.
So a chocolate bunny.
To practice? Like... Hang on a minute, this isn't a thing, surely.
I think it's outrageous, that's what I think.
Well, that's the question, Lou. Is it right to have an Easter egg or a bunny before the Sunday?
Well, I had no idea this was a thing. And let me tell you, I was shocked and dismayed to find that my daughter has been partaking of the practice bunny. So I walked into Sabine's room to ask her a question, and there she was chowing down on a 3/4 eaten chocolate bunny, I might say. But I didn't just catch her once.
Oh,
I caught her twice. Then a couple of days later, she was having some practice hunting eggs.
You can't do that.
Has she been raised by wolves? What is going on?
It's like opening Christmas presents before Christmas Day.
Correct.
Isn't it?
Easter Sunday is the day of unlimited chocolate, and that's that.
Oh, I'm shocked by this. 133353. Is it okay to have a bunny or Easter egg before the big day?
I never.
Danielle from Wodonga, what do you think? Is it something you do? What's the go?
Oh, absolutely you do. You've got to have
it. Oh, you do?
Why?
Yes, bunny. Well, you've got to get your match fitness up.
See, that's
you've got to be ready for the big day.
that's actually a fair call, really.
You've got to know what the good bunnies are and the ones you've got to avoid as well.
Oh, there is that too, isn't there?
Because there's some dodgy bunnies out there.
Because not all Easter chocolate is created equal.
Oh, no way. I've been testing this for many, many years. I'm a chocolate expert. I can sniff it out.
Now, it sounds to me like you partake in maybe more than one practice egg or bunny. Would that be fair to say, or do you just keep it to one just before the day?
Can't ask a lady that, Matt.
Is that a rude question to ask?
No, definitely got to test out a few different bunnies.
Oh, there you go, Lou.
Yeah.
No, there's no rules anymore, Lou. There's no rules
I thought
we live
Sunday.
In chaos.
I thought Sunday was a big day, but apparently not. And I've been missing out, so I'm just excuse me. I'm off to get myself
chaos.
A practice bunny.
You need rules and regulations in this world.
I reckon. Danielle, thanks. Enjoy your bunnies.
Oh, absolutely. You too.
This is going to get back to Daniel Andrews, and he'll put a stop to this, Lou, with a new set of rules and regulations. JobKeeper has officially ended, and what will be the impact for the border business community? Carrick Gill-Valance joins us from Albury Business Connect to give us some insights. Morning, Carrick.
Good morning, Matt. Good morning, Lou.
Now, there's been talk about it for obviously quite some time that the end of JobKeeper was coming, and now it's suddenly upon us. Do you think businesses have come up with strategies, or is it going to be a pretty bleak for local businesses with the end of JobKeeper?
Yeah, that's a really important question, Lou, and I think the answer to that would be that you're right, businesses have had a lot of time to prepare for this, and I think by you know, most of the businesses out there have definitely achieved that, so I think there's some really good strategies in place. But I think it's important to note that there's still industries and businesses that will continue to be affected by not having access to JobKeeper. But in saying that, you kind of, I guess you can't keep everybody happy. So it's important to understand that, you know, we're trying to support a full economy here, and we're not going to be able to kind of get away completely unscathed.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we were talking to Tim Farrow, who's the regional manager of the Australian Industry Group, but he's based here. We talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying that the economy locally is just going great guns. Like, it's far surpassed what he thought would be possible. So are we well placed generally to handle the loss of JobKeeper?
Yeah, I think we are, Matt. I think when you look at our economy, it is very well balanced. We seem to be somewhat insulated from a lot of external influences. When I say that we're a balanced economy, you know, we don't rely on any particular industry to prop us up. So that places us very well to weather, you know, quite a varying types of different, you know, storms that might be thrown at us. So in that sense, yes, but I guess it's also something that we've really learned through, you know, the last 12 months is that there's nothing that can substitute the real economy being able to be itself. All the financial support from the government cannot match what the economy can produce for itself. So by letting business get back to business in terms of, you know, releasing all of the restrictions placed on businesses you know, letting their staff get to work and whatnot, that's where the real magic happens. So yes, by large, the economy locally here is booming. But the tourism sector, the visitor economy, is still feeling, you know, quite a significant pinch.
Yeah, Carrick, just one last question. You mentioned that most businesses are placed well. Which businesses are going to be, or which types of businesses are going to be the most affected by the loss of JobKeeper, do you think?
Yeah, it'll probably be the businesses that are impacted by the lack of tourism or the lack of confidence in tourism.
Gotcha.
So, you know, the holiday planning kind of businesses, the destination accommodation providers, and particularly accommodation providers with their own food service and hospitality providers in the same location. It's really going to be a tough draw for them over the next 6 months until, you know, travel starts to free up a lot.
Yeah, that's some great insights. Carrick Gill-Valance from Albury Business Connect, thanks so much. It's Lou and Matt. It's Triple M.
The Borders 105.7 Triple M with Lou and Matt's Free Money Minute.
The Kiwa Milk, truly local.
We've got 10 questions. You've got 60 seconds to get them all right. If you do, bank $500. Thanks to Kiwa Milk, all yours. Who's playing today, Lou?
Paul from Albury. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, Paul, what would you spend $500 on?
Oh, that's our family fortnightly grocery bill, but I won't spend it on that.
No.
Yeah, that's a bit boring.
Now, what's a hobby?
Necessary.
Do you have a hobby, Paul?
Oh, I have a few, but I think, if anything, maybe a bit of a trip to the coast, maybe.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
All right. Stay in your
go
state, though. Don't try not to go to any.
No, I think I'll avoid that.
No, we can go to Victoria, but I wouldn't be going anywhere.
There's plenty of coast in New South Wales.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
You're good
that's
to go.
True.
There's enough.
All right. You know the rules. You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
The game begins in 3, 2, 1.
How many days in the month of March? What is an orca?
It's a whale.
What was yesterday's date?
The 29th.
Which car manufacturer makes the 911?
Pass.
Which singer had a hit with You're the Voice?
John Farnham.
What was Melbourne's Southern Cross Station formerly known as?
Spencer Street.
Former world champion boxer George Foreman is well known for endorsing what product?
The grill, the George Foreman grill.
What's the official currency of Japan?
Yen.
Tennis player Andre Agassi is from which country?
America, United States.
India's largest city used to be known as Bombay. What's it called now?
Mumbai.
Which car manufacturer makes the 911?
Kia.
We're out of time, and you did say Kia, so we're going to accept that answer. All right. So how do you feel about that, Paul?
The first question just threw me straight away. I just went a mental blank.
I know. I thought you'd dropped
out. Were you saying the little rhyme in your head, Paul?
Yeah, I was.
I could hear you saying it.
Here we go.
Yeah, I did the knuckle thing. I had my knuckles on the wheel of a car and I was going to do this every month.
All right, you ended up with, you won't believe it, a 9 out of 10. Look, it deserves a round of applause, but the Porsche 911.
It's a bloody hell.
Porsche 911.
You're kicking yourself right now, aren't you?
I am.
Oh, so close. That was amazing. What a great run.
Racing at the moment. It was such a good run. Oh, Paul.
Anyway.
That's the way it goes. Feel free to try.
The kids will have to starve.
Oh, don't, Paul.
That's your fortnightly job. Mate, you did very well, and you are welcome to play any time. You're a chance every time you have a crack. Well done, Paul.
All right, thanks, guys.
See ya.
Oh, so close. Oh. And it's the question that I didn't think you'd get wrong, to be honest.
Agreed.
It'll be back tomorrow, giving you a chance at $500, the free money minute. Thanks to Kiwa Milk. It's Lou and Matt's Triple M.